welcome to a brand new episode after a brief hiatus of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always is Nasty Nate Kennedy. I think that's safe to say we're glad to be back. Would have done it yesterday, but we kind of did we did something superhero related, so that justifies, you know, our absence yesterday. Actually, a lot of things we've done were all superhero related, like, you know, going to a comic book show a couple weeks ago, and let's see, last week. Why didn't we do it last week? I think you just weren't feeling it. Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, we're here now. That's all that matters.
Everything's just sort of the same. I don't know. I'm stuck in such a routine that every week feels the same to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same anyway. Because we pretty much do the same thing. We work our asses off. We do what we have to do when we're done. We try to do the podcast, you know. So it's pretty routine. So, yeah, it makes sense that everything just kind of blends together.
Why didn't we do that last weekend? I feel like I did something.
I think in advance you just said, I think you just really weren't in the mood to try and do much, and I said I'm not bothered by that at all.
Right. Well, no, enough of trying to figure that out. The reason we didn't do this yesterday is because Tyler and I went and saw Batman 89 on the big screen.
Yes, we did.
Fathom Events is playing all the original Batman films to promote the 4K releases that are coming out, I want to say, at the beginning of June.
Yeah.
And they kicked it off with Batman 89. Batman Returns is Monday. You're going to go see that. I'll be at work. And then they're going to do Forever and Batman and Robin after that as well. But I saw the movie when I was 5 years old, when it came out in 89. You did as well.
Yep.
And to see it again 30 years later, man, and we talked about this as soon as we got out of the theater, when that main theme kicks in and we're going through the opening credits, I got goosebumps. And I know you got goosebumps multiple times.
Yeah, I really did. Well. Really did, yeah.
And we also heard a lot of stuff that we don't ever recall hearing when watching the movie. And you and I have watched that film countless times, so I guess that's something to look forward to with the 4K release for some people. If you have the player and you have the TV and a proper surround sound system, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, they had like a different sound mix. So there's like different gunshot sounds. They kept most of the same sounds, but for certain sequences, like there's just a, you know, different explosion, like when Axis Chemicals blows up, you know, there's some different explosion sound effects, punching when the Bat Gauntlet comes out and he launches the grappling hook from side to side and takes Vicky out, like that sounded different a lot. I mean, I only know this because I've watched the film God knows how many times, same thing as Nathan, but it sounded great. Normally it's something like that, like what the hell, they changed all the sound effects for it, but no, it really sounded great. It worked great. It didn't take away from the quality and the value of it. You know, I know like when Jaws came out on DVD, they changed the sound of the gunshot, and then when the Blu-ray came out, they went back and kind of did like a mix of like the bullshit new sound effect and the original gunshot sound. But it sounded really good. So if that's the 4K quality, like sound mix, sounds really good. So, and I'm curious if the rest of the films are going to be like that too.
I would assume so. I know you want to try to go see Batman Forever.
I'm still like on the fence just simply because of, you know, there's certain things that was, because it was exciting that summer.
Oh, yeah. There's no denying that. But to me, because I haven't seen it in a while, I really worry that it's not going to hold up at all.
Well, I mean, all the Two-Face stuff is terrible. I mean, there's some, you know, that's definitely the road of like, we got to brighten it up because people were pissed off at Returns, which no one in my family was. I didn't know anybody was either.
But, yeah, I never thought anything differently of that ever. Like, no. There was never a part where I'm just like, oh, this sucks or it's too dark or whatever. To me, I was just, I think as a kid too, I was a little bit easier to please, but at the same time, like I had no issue with it. To me, I'm like, yeah, it's more Batman. It's more of that same, like, dark, brooding world that Tim Burton established with the first film. Like, I don't.
I still wish he'd have come back and done the third one, because at least by that point he hadn't gone off the rails and just done a bunch of like technicolor crazy stuff that's just not really interesting to watch or dig into. So I think his third film would have been pretty interesting with I'm sure Riddler would have still been in it. I don't know who he would have. I've heard all kinds of various discussions because Robin Williams was attached to play or was mentioned to play the Riddler for so long, and Jim Carrey comes along. So I'm still very curious, and we probably would have gotten Billy Dee as Two-Face, you know, since he was, you know, contracted to play him. But anyway, yeah, it's something I'm still kind of up in the air about, because it would be so cool to see certain sequences on the screen with the sound and everything. But yeah, you got all the hammy Two-Face stuff and some other silly stuff that's in that film, but some also good moments, which kind of makes me feel like would be kind of fun to relive that nostalgia of the question mark looping around the bat symbol and all that on the screen. But then I'm like, I don't know. It may be like a last minute decision for me to do it. I checked the seating chart. They've sold one seat so far.
Yeah. And that was the beauty of going yesterday. There weren't many people there at all. We had, I think it was maybe like 8 people.
Totally, yeah.
And everybody was great. No one was talking loud. No one was on their phones that we could see anyway. Tyler did mess up the seats. He's like, yeah, I got the back row over here, or whatever. He didn't. It was like,
I don't know how the hell.
It was like the middle, in the middle, and then we were in the middle of the row.
So I swear it must have been like a glitch, because
it worked out fine.
It
really did. And so we were
dead center, like right there, lined up with the screen.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it was prime.
And I always forget like how nice those recliners are, because the last time I went to the movies is when we saw Meg.
That's the last time you went.
I think.
So last August.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I don't go to the movies because people have.
Well, there's nothing playing anyway, so
I've ruined it. So yeah, if you guys want to check that out, if you manage to catch this on Podbean or iTunes early enough, because I'll get the audio sent, that way it can be posted hopefully at some point today. Batman Returns plays tomorrow. It's only one showing.
That's showing for all these, yeah.
Yeah, but make sure you guys go to Fathom Events and then find the upcoming events, click on the movie, and then you can enter in your zip code to see what theater may be playing it around.
Yeah, I think AMC theaters are doing it, as well as Regal. So if you have one of those two chains in your area, it's well worth the trip if you have to drive a little bit to get to it. But yeah, I still got Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and if I was like on vacation and didn't have to worry about the roughest part of my work here, I probably would go see Batman and Robin just for the hell of it. You know, but you know, I'm not going. When it plays is like one of the hardest days of my work year. I'm like, no thanks. I'm not.
I mean, you wouldn't. I know. That just seems like a double whammy. Have a stressful day and then go watch a shitty movie.
Yeah, that's why I felt like if I was on vacation and didn't have to worry about anything, I probably would just go see it just for the. Yeah, this movie sucks. Arnold still looks cool. God, this movie's terrible. But I'm not doing that. No, and that's why I'm Batman Forever. I'm still not sure. At least it's on a Sunday in the afternoon at 1
o'clock. Yeah, and you're trying to drag me into that. You're like, hey,
I
man.
I just asked if you were interested because of the hype of seeing
it. I don't know.
So,
yeah.
Like I said, I'm...
I mean, it would be cool to hear, like, Kiss from a Rose playing...
And U2's Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me playing at the end credits on with the speakers and everything, because I love those two songs on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that was a fun summer with getting posters from Kmart of the Riddler and Nicole Kidman and the glasses from McDonald's and seeing just any kind of promotional material for it. Boy, it was exciting.
Yeah, I do remember going to McDonald's and getting like a cheeseburger. I didn't have any of the glasses, but like
I had 3 of the 4.
Just walking in and seeing them. But then I also remember that my mom started working again, so I had to go like to a babysitter that summer, and it was the same one that my cousin John had gone to. Mm-hmm. And that was funny in itself because you had a couple of really attractive girls that were also there because the one that kept all the kids, like her granddaughter was one of the hot girls. So it's kind of funny. I show up and there's always, it's sort of set like a school schedule. Like in the mornings, there's this, this, and this. And then like we have lunch and in the afternoon we would go outside and do whatever. The first day I showed up, it was a kickball. And I dominated, man. I'm like doing like diving catches and everything and getting people out. And then it was just one of those things. I was like the new hot kid. It was like Salute Your Shorts when I can't remember his name, but when What's His Face shows up and all the girls are just like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it was kind of like that. So it was a lot of like girls standing off in a group and just kind of like talking amongst themselves, and they're all staring at me. And when you're 11 years old, you like, it was very intimidating, and it stayed that way for a while. Anytime you had a group of girls that you knew were talking about you, but you didn't know what they were saying. But
because I was always trying to show off in front of you. I was the kid who was like wanting to make a basket in front of them or be like dominating in dodgeball or something like that. You know,
it was
like trying to walk on my hands. Hey, look what I can do. Kind of bullshit.
Yeah. No, I was, I was very, painfully shy. I couldn't, no.
I was still shy. Don't get me wrong, but you couldn't have paid me to approach the girls. I just wanted them to think I was cool and, you know, like, oh man, I want to sign my yearbook.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But the point that I was getting at was it ended up with one of the girls over that summer asking me out, right? And then that movie came out and Seal's Kiss from a Rose was like, you know, that was the main song of the summer. And I remember
for me too. That was my song for that summer too.
And I remember she broke up with me, and I remember like having that CD in my CD player and sitting on the porch on the swing, just like swinging back and forth, listening to it, being really sad.
So I did the same thing for, like, I had this crush on this Canadian girl who went to Bible school with us, and she was related to some of the kids that I went to Sunday school with. And when that, I was so excited for the movie and that song comes out, and I'm thinking this really hot blonde girl named Leslie. I just associated Kiss. Seal's Kiss from a Rose with her. I remember I got to kiss her like the last day of like Sunday school on the cheek and thought I was so cool. And then I never saw her except just talking with her on the phone some. I think I overdid it because her aunt and uncle or aunt got upset with me for calling too much. So I was a psycho back then. But I just always associated it. And I remember if the music video would come on at certain points during the weekdays. Uh-huh. Like I had my next door neighbor's niece came over or stayed that summer, and she told me, hey, if you could like go home and check MTV at like 1 o'clock, they always play Seal's Kiss from a Rose. I was like, no way. But always make sure I'm there to watch it. So
I remember in the video it always showed the part where it's like Val Kilmer turns and sees Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was the Summer of Love. Oddly enough, not long after that, after she dumped me, like her friend at this place asked me out, and then I dated her friend, and then we went and saw Free Willy 2.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. and then we went to Emerald Point Water Park, and then a couple weeks later, she broke up with me.
She used to. She got to see Free Willy 2 and Emerald Point on your dime. And
oh no, I didn't pay with it. I went with her and her parents.
Oh wow, so you freeloaded off them.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think you did pretty good.
Yeah, I did all right. Yeah, I was in the. I remember the wave pool, and I had like a boogie board, and that's when I like wiped out because there was some kid that was in front of me, and I like couldn't see him, and then I ran into him. That was fun.
Was always fun.
Kid was always crying. He was like, ugh! God. Memories.
I'm glad to know you had the same memories about Batman Forever like I did, because that movie was
being broken. Yeah, being brokenhearted.
I remember I asked for the soundtrack, and my mom said she would go to Kmart and get it for me. She got me like the
score?
The book on tape. this ain't the soundtrack. So I was stuck with this, and it was like a few weeks later, I actually got the actual album cassette.
Oh, you were still listening to cassettes back then. See, I had already moved on to CDs by that point.
I think I did have a boom box that had two cassette players and a CD player. But because the cassette was a bit cheaper, that's what I wanted to go for. Because I just, you know, when you have no money, you're in fourth grade. You know, you try to buy what's...
I thought we were in fifth grade. I thought that was fifth grade going... Summer going into... Grade. I thought it was summer going into sixth.
Yeah, you're right. Because I remember getting the Batman Forever trading cards when I was in sixth grade, too.
Yeah, June 9th, 95. So, yeah, we were... That was...
Going into middle school.
Yeah, we were going into middle school.
Yeah.
With a broken heart. Oddly enough, too, that girl that... I dated that dumped me, and then I dated her friend. Well, anyway, the first one ended up becoming friends with my cousin and friends with another girl that I dated. I kind of feel like I just traded off between it. It was like the Zach Morris and that I just dated all the girls.
Yeah, you pretty much did. You know, were you wearing like ugly sweaters like Zach would when he's trying to be all suave and stuff?
No, I was wearing my Atlanta Braves World Series championship shirt. A lot of like Michael Jordan shit. What else? I did have this really terrible shirt that I always wore with purple shorts. Why purple shorts? I have no idea.
I had like neon pink and neon colors like in the early 90s too. Cause you know, my mom,
yeah, but I'm sitting and thinking about it. Like it was this black shirt that, it had like a skull on it, you know, and it had like multicolored, like I wouldn't say flames, but I wouldn't say it was like just like a mist fog design in behind it. Wore that with purple shorts and white tube socks.
Apparently, you were styling or profiling.
Yeah. How did I get girls back then? I don't know. Anyway. That was a good opening off-topic stuff. I want to say hello to Who That Will that popped in live. I think someone else, a couple other people lurking around. We're here to talk Thundercats. And Lion-O's trials. There were, what, five of these?
You got the trial of strength, the trial of speed, the trial of mind, and then the trial of cunning, I think it's because he takes on Panther in one, Chitar in one, Tiger in one, Wily Cat, and then the final one is taking on Mumra. He can't use the Sword of Omens. And what's cool about these is that they're not played in order. Like, you have the Trial of Strength, then a couple of episodes. Then you go to the Trial of Speed. And it's just kind of broke, which I think that's kind of cool. Like, you have other adventures that go on, and then in this episode, well, today, Lion-O takes on Wily Cat and Wily Cat and has to outwit them. You know, the mutants get involved once they hear Lion-O's taking all these tests. He's unarmed, like, we can go kick his ass. You know, so it's cool. Like, as the trials go on, they get harder and harder. And they're very good episodes. Like, all the trials they're just fun episodes. And it culminates with Lion-O having to get past the mutants, break into Mon-Ra's Black Pyramid, and take him on with no weapons. Pretty badass.
Yeah, I didn't have the one. I think it's like, the last time we did Capes and Commentaries, I didn't really get the opportunity to watch this, so it's going to be super fresh for me like it could be for everybody else. There is also the link down below. Take your chances with Daily Motion. Probably will be ads. But you can kind of...
The image is flipped, and it will, like...
I put it there anyway. Yeah.
It's on iTunes for $1.99, you know, all the episodes. So go on there and buy a copy for $1.99. Watch it anytime you want.
And SSJ Mitz is wondering where his burger is. Sir, you, that's all on you. He's sitting here telling me how I'm making all this money when I think you and I make about the same amount of money an hour. So go buy your own damn burger. Anyway, I guess, let's go ahead.
Let's jump right into it here.
Yeah, we need to have an episode of something one day where you and I just bullshit about memories of all kinds of different things and just see where it goes
one day. With movies, too, I could definitely do that.
Because, I mean, just think about what we did with Batman Forever.
Yeah.
And we had the same memories and we never even knew that. Just
yeah. Just the way we had the same viewpoint on the film now. But we definitely were affected by the soundtrack and the hype for the movie and everything.
Yeah, so. I definitely had that song on replay. And then I think, I want to say around that time too, Michael Jackson's History compilation album came out that had the Scream track with Janet Jackson.
I love that song. That's what I think probably his, that Jam, I think are his two most underrated songs.
Yeah.
No one talks about Jam or Scream. God,
that, yeah, that video was cool too.
Yeah, it was.
He had Michael Jordan in there and everything. Yeah, and you know, despite allegations or what you think of Michael Jackson, there was no denying that during that period of time. Well, I guess I would probably go before that because 93 he started having some of the accusations, but he definitely, there's no denying the talent and the greatness of those songs. Anyway. Go ahead and give us the countdown. We'll go ahead and get Thundercats going.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action.
And we'll sit here and talk about something else because we do the same thing every time. We don't need to talk about the intro. You guys know how great it is.
Yeah, it's arguably the best next to He-Man and G.I. Joe and Turtles and Silver Hawks and so on and so forth. But yeah, we always, it's always fun to give you a little bit more bang for your buck and not repeat the same damn conversation because I've been guilty of that myself with my rants and complaints and bitching. So,
yeah.
But I do often feel like, because I was glad to hear Nathan bought Snowman of Hook Mountain.
Complete.
So I just kind of felt like, you know, we really do. We've done two commentaries. This will be the third one for Thundercats. And, you know, it warrants more commentaries because, God, there's so many great episodes to do. You know, we could do the Thunder Cutter, we could do Spitting Image, Thundercats Ho, like, you know, because that all five parts of that. I mean, there's so many things I would love for Nathan to sit down and watch for the first time. Like Jackalman's Rebellion, that's another good one. So The Mountain, which I actually was either going to be this one or The Mountain. And I know Nathan likes to kind of do things in chronological order and not do like parts of stuff, but the Enormous Trials, you can pretty much watch them out of order. And they kind of let you know what's happened beforehand, but you don't really feel like you have to watch them in order. So that's why I feel like we can kind of get away and watch the last part first.
I only want to, I think, watch them in order just because, but that would just be kind of boring, I think, for most people. I do like the fact that it's random. It's random what we do, but it's also random episodes as well.
Yeah, it becomes a little less exciting when you don't know. If you can expect it, you know, there's a bunch of filler episodes because there's some flop episodes like there are in every series. But like when Thundercats starts out, like it starts out strong. Well, several episodes are pretty damn good.
I'm going to ask you about this right here. Is that just an anomaly with them not having the logo on their outfits or is there a reason for this?
That's part of the trial. If Lionel defeats them, they hand over their insignia to him and he puts it on a belt.
Okay.
To let you know that, you know, I've beaten Panther. I've got his insignia.
I need to go and watch all of these. I apologize to all of our listeners. I always feel like an asshole about that. It's like I watched these as a kid, but I haven't gone back and really sat down and revisited it.
Like
that.
Well, they will buy the stuff, maybe watch an episode, they get tired and bored of it, and then, you know, say, hey, I'm a fan too, but they haven't really watched that many episodes, you know. I'm guilty of it. There's a couple of shows on my shelf that I've watched a few episodes. Like, I got Defenders of the Earth. I think I watched maybe one or two episodes of it when I bought the set and haven't watched any since.
Yeah. Mine's not more of a boredom thing. It's just having to break down my time and be like, do I have time to sit down and watch this for a couple hours? Is there something else I need to do? What do I get? You know, I get pulled in different directions.
And that's why I feel like it's often best, too, when people are wanting to revisit a show. You may pick a couple of duds and then realize, well, this show's not as good as I thought. Like, and that's why I like something that what we do is we keep it random. I pick these episodes for reasons, not just throwing, you know, darts at a board. And okay, there's reasons behind like picking a certain episode of this and that because they're really, really good. And
that's a good shot right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very like Lino Mom Ross centric episode. Like, they're the main characters in this episode. Because as a kid, I would always be more interested if there was like more villains and not just, you know, just Mom Ra only, kind of like I am with He-Man. But Lionel's got all the all their
insignias,
yeah. And I like seeing the mutants. They're just passed out from eating and I assume probably drinking too.
I mean, he does look a little hungover.
Yeah, they all do. And it's just an interesting dynamic between these two. Like, they work for Mon-Ra, but they're not directly like how Beast, Man, Merman, Triclops, and Trapjaw with Skeletor. Like, the mutants tend to work on their own a lot as well. But it's like Mon-Ra can only do so much since, you know, he's pretty much kind of tied to the pyramid unless he wastes all of his strength to get out. So he has to rely on the mutants a lot.
And yeah. I like how they're already like, hey, can we wait?
Yeah.
No.
No! And I love that they're going to bust his balls. Like, they're as many times as he will drop them on their ass, if that kind of doesn't imply what's coming already, you know, they still like to mock him at times. Like, I like that they still have the guts to bust his balls, and it never pays off. You know, too, and something about the mutants, too, as much as they get knocked on their ass, they still always come off as very intimidating villains. You know, you never feel like that their value is, or that they're ever devalued, because they just always come off as menacing. And I,
I'll pose this to you. Would you kind of say that they're not like a Bebop and Rocksteady? Because you still kind of mostly get those vibes that they're just like Bebop and Rocksteady are just goofs.
Well, and that's partly due to the fact of how they're portrayed too. Like, you know, Bebop and Rocksteady are played as morons from day one. You know, they hardly ever, I mean, there's only a couple episodes where they come off as something threatening for the most part. I mean, they're more threatening in the video games than they are in the animated series. And here we are, Lionel pretty much is going to turn down his only help to get through this, which is pretty interesting. And all this background, like the ruins of the Egyptian civilization that was existing, and there's the, and I like that shot of the sky cutters and the nosediver coming in. Like, it just looks beautifully animated as they're getting ready to come in and duke it out with Lion-O. And I didn't get to see any of these trials as a kid. Like, all this stuff was new to me on DVD because, you know, there were only so many episodes on VHS, and I only got to catch so many on TV. So seeing the trials were pretty interesting, and they're very well done, the stories are. Like, it's an interesting story that goes on throughout the series that...
it's also a thing that a lot of people can resonate with Lion-O needing to prove himself, not only as being what's sort of prophesized, but just being that leader, you know, that a lot of people can cling to that of needing to prove yourself in whatever it may be.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's, there's a lot of continuity in this show too, that I think it's overlooked. And, you know, they acknowledge Lion-O is set to be their leader, but he's still a boy mentally and is still learning things and trying to realize what it takes to become a true leader. And he, you know, like in Pumara, which we've already watched, where he learns about, you know, not just giving away trust needs to be earned and things like that. And for him to actually go through and prove that he is top dog amongst the remaining Thundercats and needs to go up against the ultimate enemy with no weapons, you know, and coming across this Lynx God, which is just kind of just a throwaway character, but something that, you know, it makes sense that for this, you know, Guardian to be existing below the Black Pyramid all these centuries, just guarding nothing. Well, guarding, but no one really worships or looks to him as if anything important, which is sad.
I'm just going to throw this out there again. I really do feel like an idiot for asking that question.
No, go ahead.
No, it's just where I asked the question earlier about their logo being off of their
uniform. Dude, there's Believe me, I'm sure there's people out there who don't know this show that I know the show pretty good. I don't know it inside and out. There are things I don't know and stuff.
It's not like Masters for you.
You know, and I still don't know everything about He-Man, you know. I don't claim to. I know a lot. I know a lot about Thundercats also, but here we are getting a little bit of a acknowledgement of the impending doom. I like seeing Mom-Ra's insignia on the wall there. And here we begin the gauntlet of just constant obstacles that Lion is going to have to deal with here. And just the background, the setting of all this, of him trying to get into the pyramid, it's just like, it has like a, you know, when you see the boatman here, Clash of the Titans feel here. That's why I just, you know, when those assholes who did Thundercats Roar just, and the people who greenlit that idea, I feel like I probably blame a lot of it on how people like to make fun of a lot of this stuff in social media nowadays, where all this stuff is just seen as just hokey, silly stuff that we grew up on, and nothing interesting ever came out of it. When if people actually stop and watch this show, there was a lot of great character stories and ideas and heroes and villains and so many interesting things that I feel like you could really either expand upon or play more off of it. Like the whole trial thing, like that's a wonderful story idea for like a new Thundercats series. And just this whole backstory of all this stuff going on, but then you get into, I don't like have too much stuff explained, then it becomes less mysterious and intriguing. But this whole idea of this underworld below the Black Pyramid, I mean, it's just adds to the mystique of Mom-Ra's past and, you know, the ancient spirits of evil. I mean, it's just really, really cool.
Definitely a period of time where a lot of originality was taking place. There was thought put into stuff and effort put into stuff. And now we're just at a point where everyone's just retreading off of what these shows have established.
And really not trying to provide great action adventure. And I don't know. I hate to think that they're basing a few children's thoughts on, oh, well, I don't like this. Or, I want more funny stuff. Oh, therefore, all kids must want funny stuff. I just, you know, I refuse to believe that the idea of kids enjoying action adventure series where it's not played up to be hokey and silly, that it's, you know, even though these cartoons have their lighthearted moments, you know, the tone of the show is that, you know, boys watch this and want to be heroes. They want to fight villains. They want to go outside with their buddies and reenact, and everyone, you be Lino, and I'll be Panthro, and you be Bengali, and we'll take on the mutants, and then Ratara is going to come in and fight us too. Like, you know, that's something that we all did. And I kind of feel like, you know, instinctively, boys are probably still growing up with that idea, but they're not given that option to see a lot of great action adventure shows.
I feel really sorry for that that boatman, because as soon as he dumped in the water, he disintegrated and was done. That's a bummer.
Which, you know, is we're gonna see a little bit more of, you know, effects like that. Just Mom-Ra just launching like this creature here coming out of the cocoon.
I wish on these and we got it in some of the releases, but I wish things had more of like the bumpers that they had for the show and include those on the DVD. That would have been cool. That creature's that's scary stuff right there.
Yeah. And just seeing all this hell Lion is going through, and Mom-Ra's just, it's almost like part of him, like, you know, is worried, but also like, he's also going to savor the idea that he thinks he's going to vanquish Lino, especially since he's unarmed. And it's so beautifully animated, and just it's just so much care put into all of this. And it's always fun when the villain has like a, you know, Mom-Ra has this cauldron you know, Skeletor has his hover screen, you know, various other villains have, like, you know, big computer screens. They're watching stuff go on. It's always fun to see a villain in his lair watching the events take place. It's like a, it's one of those staples of what 80s villains had. Megatron had it at times as well, seeing like this kind of fire ghost attacking Lion-O. It would have been cool to have included the bumpers on a lot of this, and I don't know why. Like, G.I. Joe and Transformers both include their bumpers, but He-Man, Silverhawks, Thundercats, Turtles, no bumpers.
Sorry, I'm just kind of getting enamored and what's going on.
That's what I want you to. I want you to. I mean, just.
Oh, man.
All these, like, crazy.
That poor creatures. Guy. It's just like reaching out, like, no. And then disintegrates.
But just what great, such great heroics that they always put Lion-O and the Thundercats through. And, you know, as young boys, like, that's what you aspire. You know, that's what excites you and want to go outside and reenact with your buddies or with your action figures. It's something that I feel like, well, you get that in superhero movies today, whether you like them today or not, but still there should be that desire of boys being introduced to all kinds of heroes, and they aren't just play for just, you know, schlubs. I mean, look at all this, like all these ideas of Lion-O going through this, you know, river. All these obstacles and creatures, and it's building up to duking it out in the tomb.
Do you remember, like, at the fair where they would have like that big
Raiders of the Lost Ark, like bridges?
Yeah, where it had the bridges and the rope stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember, like, specifically going to that Dublin fair strictly just to get on the Raiders of the Lost Ark plaything. And yeah. That's, I didn't know.
Did you ever, did you have that mindset too of where you're kind of like, I'm going to be Lion-O going through the trial or anything like that? I always kind of had that mindset when I went through
I definitely
like
thought
that.
Of myself as like a hero going through that stuff because it had a big like spray paint mural painting of Raiders of the Lost Ark on the sides. And me and my brother would just run it and just because they had these like chain bridges just like in Temple of Doom. They had these wires you had to go through in this bouncy, like thick bouncy slide and a big slide at the top. So it was like running what Lion-O's doing, at least from a child's perspective. Yeah. Very much like an action adventure for a little boy to do. So that was a blast.
I always thought that was like the biggest thing. I bet if I looked at it now, if they still have anything like that, it's probably like 10 feet off the ground.
I know. I remember they took that same contraption, the pan, the Lion King on, and they're like, man, this sucks. You know, Lion King.
What does this? Yeah, it's like you look at that. It's like, what does this have to do with Lion King?
I just thought we got. Well, kids don't know Indiana Jones. They know Lion King, Hakuna Matata, and all that shit. But I've seen stuff like that over the years, similar to that. I don't know. I've never known what like the actual name for that would have been. You know, when they have those fairs, but I'm sure that in some form or another, they've got these kind of action playgrounds.
There's actually a carnival going on at the mall that I'm pretty sure has the same stuff that they're going to end up using at the fair. I just have to swing by and see if they have one of those.
Yeah, we were there yesterday. I didn't think about that. So, hey, you guys got the Indiana Jones thing? You and me up there. No, I'm going first.
Kid, we had that like 30 years ago.
It's got like the big.
And I'd be like Momra just now. I'm just like,
you
no.
You gotta be this tall to get on there. But I'm above that. Get out of here, kid. You're holding up my line. And seeing this. This is an interesting aspect, too. Like, I was never really behind the idea of Mumra's weakness, like his reflection, which is shown in Unholy Alliance. But I'm all about Mumra's sarcophagus being, like, a great source of his power in that to do any kind of harm or damage to it is fatal to him. And to showcase the line of the strength to just heave up that big casket like that into the cauldron it goes.
I'm going to address something in the chat. Someone called No Mercy says, what happened to your chin? If you're referring to my crappy facial hair, it's exactly that, crappy facial hair.
What is?
I don't know. I hope I was able to answer that question.
Okay.
That's a cool visual right there.
Yeah.
As is this. But yeah, No Mercy, get back to me about that.
Okay, I thought maybe the person said No Mercy. What happened to your
channel? No, that's the username.
Okay.
Having all those logos on the belt like that kind of looks like a very, I don't know, it looks like WCW television title or something.
Yeah, it does look like a heavyweight belt on around his waist there. Third Earth Heavyweight Champion. Headliner definitely would be the Hulk Hogan. But as we all know, evil never truly dies here. Which would not be the first time, like, here we have the big celebration, the coronation. You see all the various characters they met. Of course, they have the ninja thrown in there. The ninja's a villain. But the Warlows, the Balkans, the Burbles, Hachiman's in there, the Tree Maidens, they're all out there to watch Lino wear his coronation crown here as Lord of the Thundercats.
And it's cool that they decided to do this in, like later on in season one.
Yeah, it's way into the season, which is really cool. Not something that was done early on. And of course, to the ancient spirits of evil, they need their warrior. So therefore, they're not vanquished. So it makes sense. But Mom Ra would meet like another fate at the end of Thundercats Ho, and then comes back in the 5-part episode. Mom Ra Lives, where he comes back and orders to have the Lunatax, which is the next big faction to come out, and they're wreaking havoc on Third Earth also. So you've got Mom Ra, the mutants, the Berserkers, and the Lunatax all running around on Third Earth in season two. So it's kind of like with He-Man, where they're expanding. You got the Horde, the Snake Men, the Evil Warriors. So it's which leaves even more to be desired in terms of like action figure line and how Thundercats is just kind of cursed in terms of like someone gets the rights, they start making figures, and then it's canceled. And it seems to happen all the time where they can't get more than a couple of a wave or two of figures off the ground. Then it's immediately someone puts the kibosh. They're having too much fun with this. Have it canceled. I hopefully maybe this summer someone will there's been talk about Thundercats being brought back by Mattel, but we have still yet to hear anything else about that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, to get more classic figures, which I think it's,
and maybe re-release the first little bits that they had come out, because that's
some people, I think like Nathan missed out on those. But Axel posted something too about trying to spread the word, let Super 7 know. And I think a lot of it comes down to, I think, Warner Brothers, because they have the rights to the Thundercats. And I think their problem was that Super 7 couldn't afford what Warner Brothers was asking for to continue on with the classic line. Since Mattel was like wiping their hands clean, we're not doing any of this fun stuff. We got to stick to making, lousy WWE variants and Hot Wheels and Barbies. So I think that was the case. I'm not in the know, but I remember hearing something along those lines that they were just asking too much and Super 7 couldn't do it. And then with Funko, I thought we were going to get more Thundercat figures. We have yet to get wave two of that. So that almost appears like someone's put the kibosh on that. Probably Warner Brothers again.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, so.
And yet they're trying to figure out this Thundercats roar thing. I want to apologize too there towards the end. I addressed that person that popped up in the chat that I never seen before. Some of the messages that came after that were just kind of, so I had to kind of fix that, so to speak. And I'll leave it at that. And we'll we'll move on past that.
Or will they be in derogatory towards you and I or something?
It wasn't anything too horrible, but I just don't know where any of that was going or leading up to, so I went ahead and just took care of that.
Okay, well, fair enough then.
Yeah.
We're just here to have fun. If somebody wants to come in and make things uncomfortable, well, that's not something we're going to cater to.
Right, exactly. But it would be nice if we could get classics, like a good, legit line, but all boils down to supply and demand, how many people want it. And we'll have a bit of a discussion about that probably tonight on Fans of Power as well, because there is something that I do want to talk about.
We'll just save that and just kind of probably just make tonight just kind of a sitting around the campfire and just have a random discussion tonight instead of just kind of doing the traditional stuff. Maybe try and do that next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of see where tonight goes.
Yeah, but, you guys will figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. In terms of how to promote it, that's always the hard part. Not that, you know, I think by this point, you know, we just have to rely on the subscribers to just watch it, because people just love to like pictures and don't really. I shared the New Adventures episode. People are just like, I don't like Skeletor. Yeah, Sirius is bad. I'm like, did you read what it's about?
No. Pictures, yay.
Yeah.
People don't read the words sometimes.
And you have to get pissed off when someone tweets something.
Yeah, well, it's the world we live in now. Anyway, yeah. any final thoughts on this episode? This was fun. I think that if we were going in chronological order, I think it kind of would have been cool to maybe just sort of have Mumm-Ra not do that little teaser thing at the end and maybe kind of make you think that he is indeed vanquished and gone. That would have been
more episodes to go before season one ends. So just, you know, yeah, it would have been, you know, interesting. Maybe just have like a shot of the Black Pyramid and the kind of hint that, you know, is he really gone? You see the Black Pyramid and that's it. You know, leave the kids wandering. But, you know, I'm sure it was probably like something we need to make sure immediately that, you know, the villain is not dead. Sell more toys. Who knows? I'm sure there was reason behind it. But the show does something, you know, overall, like it takes a while for Mumm-Ra to kind of come into play and be like the main villain immediately. It's something that new series just completely botched, amongst other things.
Yeah, so, we still haven't heard anything about that at all. It's almost like it just fell off the face of the earth.
Oh, I meant like the one that the reboot they did back in like 2011.
All right, yeah.
But which still could have been really, really good. But yeah, the Thundercats. I'm feeling pretty confident they pretty much nixed that. I mean, come on, as much backlash as it got, and nothing, not a single thing has come out in regards to it. Like,
and that was like almost a year ago.
Yeah, it was last summer. Yeah, it was last summer. Yeah. I was at the beach when that was dropped, and seeing all that backlash about how people were so pissed off about it, and well, Warner Bros. Obviously felt like, you know, they didn't go the whole route of, well, we'll show you, we're going to release it anyway, and kids will love it. You guys, you know, bunch of, you know, goofy ass, you know, big kids living in the mom's basements. You ain't the audience anymore.
Right.
You're right. What do we know?
Yeah. Yeah, it gets back in that whole argument that always tend to.
We know it. You've heard it. We don't need to repeat it. So.
Right. Well, is there anything else that we should discuss before we jump out of here?
I just say, you know, if you love Thundercats, you know, like if you don't own the DVDs, which I'm sure there's people out there who don't, you know, try and find them. If you just wanted to sample episodes, go on iTunes. Both seasons are available on iTunes for $1.99 per episode, or you can buy the whole season complete. I've bought some of them on iTunes because sometimes I like to listen to stuff in my car or as a pre-workout. Listen to that Thundercats theme, get you really pumped up when you lift weights, man. But just if it is accessible. I don't recommend Daily Motion because they break up the momentum in the episode. The image is flipped. and constant ads for cars or Geico or Progressive or whatever other, you know, obsession to do with car insurance, you know, is plaguing this nation. So just I'd recommend spend $1.99. You know,
well, to me, it's like you have to have car insurance anyway.
I don't you know, need to have like these bad jokes thrown at me. That is that a joke? Is that supposed to be funny? Huh? I feel like buying Progressive because of that pasty ass flow. You know, you think she's funny.
Right.
She's not funny. She's not funny at all. And neither was Geico. Ugh. But yeah, I just strongly encourage people to, you know, dig out. There's so many great episodes for Thundercats, and I intend for us to cover more, like Thundercats Ho, Spitting Image, the Thunder Cutter, the Mountain, you know, Slaves of Castle Plundar, and it's just the Unholy Alliance, Exodus, which has them naked in it. I don't care what people say. It was just, it's done for a reason. Ignore what, you know, goofy ass fanboys who try to make themselves funny, you know, on YouTube by making fun of it. Ignore that. There's reason behind it, and it's not done to be cruel or something odd or weird. So, but there's just tons and tons of great episodes to check out. So we'll keep reminding you. That's our goal here. But in the meantime, seek them out. You know?
Yeah. And eventually we'll do G.I. Joe the movie, because that's been a few weeks in the making. We'll see how things turn out with overtime schedules. And
we may. You know what? Like. If we don't do that, we'll do another Thundercats episode next week. That's what we'll do. If time is a problem, we will do.
He'll pick one from the list that he just mentioned.
Yeah. We'll do Thunder Cutter.
All right.
Hachiman shows up for the first time.
We'll do that, and I can show off my complete snowman.
There you go.
Because that should be arriving Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. And you guys, check out the Fathom events. Go check out Batman Returns or Forever or Batman and Robin, if that's really your thing.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like Batman and Robin's going to have the most attendance out of all of these that they've shown, just because I think people... That movie's come around that it's so bad that it's good for a lot of people. Me, it's not, but...
No, it's not something to sit down and watch and enjoy. It's
I could see there being a decent turnout for that one, oddly enough.
Maybe not. I don't know if in our area. I kind of feel like that might do more popular, like bigger areas where, like in, you know, just more populated areas.
Yeah, could be.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that too.
And definitely look at what else I got going on, because in October they're going to do the 40th anniversary of Alien, and we're going to go check that out, because obviously you and I weren't alive when that movie was in theaters.
Nope.
But, at least not during its first run. It's been re-released since, but...
Yeah. But we definitely take advantage of that when that comes out, and whatever else should get re-released along the way, you know, because this was kind of a last-minute arrival, so who knows what'll come out this summer as part of the Fathom events. So
I guess with that said, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to that one person that kind of was stupid. Appreciate that. If you are new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. Check out all the links down below. You can download us on Podbean, iTunes, hit up Joe for a custom, buy his t-shirt. And check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself, where they kind of do what we do here. There's topics of discussion, character breakdowns and bios, but commentaries happens on there as well.
Yeah.
Many comics, the art. You guys have special guests that were involved, not only with the show, but productions, some newer stuff, some guys from Super 7. Interviewed people from the movie, so there's a lot. You guys are inching closer to 200 episodes, so there's plenty of content there for you guys to check out. You can find that at youtube.com/fanspowerpodcast. Anything else?
I think you covered it, bud. Let's call it a day.
I think now I want to go listen to some Seal and reflect on that heartbreak.
Yeah.
Until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Thanks again, everybody.
Take care.